Agi. 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 Agi.
All right. Artscape is produced on the traditional Coast Salish territories of the Songhees, Lekwungen-speaking peoples, and the Wasanik Senecotin-speaking peoples. Artscape is a production of CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria and is made possible with the generous support from the BC Arts Council. Now in its third season, Artscape seeks to investigate the diverse arts and cultural landscape around us. This episode is produced by Adam Cantor and explores...
This is a podcast. It's about mental health and mostly like 85% of it is talking. I'm not singing right now. You're hallucinating now. It's the podcast about art and mental health. Yeah! So today on our podcast, we will have people who do art, people who have mental health problems. It's a real surprise. It's a shocker. It's the same person. We're going to have somebody who has both. It's surprising that actually every single artist that I contacted had a mental health issue that they were dealing with. It was a really weird coincidence for this podcast. My name is Adam. Let's do an index.
Okay.
Do you know what a radio index is like?
What's it like?
Check this out. Okay, I'm going to throw this out. Today on Artscape, we will be discussing mental health and how it affects a sculptor named Redudio. The feeling of having a bipolar episode during a vernissage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Inspiration. Is schizophrenia a curse or a plague?
Today on Artscape.
On Netscape.
Today on Netscape Navigator 2.0.
On Artscape 2017.
We're going to meet a man in a gold cowboy suit that I met on a metro station platform who says he can beat Roger Federer in tennis just by using his mental focus, and he also claims he lives in a tree in Park Jari. On Artscape 2017. Who's the craziest artist that you know?
Who's the artiest crazy that you know?
I know so many arty crazies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a...
Lab used to be such an experimental podcast because they were using...
They have that one with those two women talking to each other.
Their news reporting. It's really amazing. But now it's like there's a Love and Radio.
Yeah, and everything that the CBC does, it's like, we're here in Nova Scotia, and then they just insert some seagull noises and boats and whatnot. So, how are you?
Yeah, they do.
It's like, it's super,
so how are you?
Super cheesy.
I don't really like that question.
They're cheesing it up a little bit, but I feel like...
Do you want to know why I don't like that question?
Yeah, I want to know why you don't like that question.
Yeah.
It actually has to do with mental health. I think that a lot of the times when people ask you how you are, they don't really want to know, per se. And I think that that question is really loaded when you have a lot of grief and sadness. And I think that when, if your answer isn't like, great, fine, well, then people feel really uncomfortable.
So the general topics are the general topic is art
and it's not
and,
the answer
or mental
health. Fine, great, well.
And there's two. So back in the 60s and 70s, I guess that people who were coming out of the mental health
artist
complex
and their mental health, which is sometimes
for whatever reason, whether they've been going to therapy or had been incarcerated in a mental health prison or something. The stock answer was always sad. I'm doing much better.
I've been trying to stop myself from saying good, fine, well, because I think that it's really important for me to have honesty and intimacy in my life, and I think that
how art can really be therapeutic.
It's
help people get
that's
back
missing
from
for me,
the places
so I'm trying to cultivate it, and part of that is
and in
honoring
the
that place.
Of, How do you feel about,
for example, if you destroy the demons in somebody, are they still going to be making
I think that
things?
That's
a lot of people don't want to be fixed.
That's definitely
like
a good move
fixed,
because
be
you
get
can
to the places they need to
you avoid
really
having
stuff.
To talk about it.
So
and
those are some
kind
of the topics.
Some
that
lightness
up.
Or humor to the situation. But I also think it's.
Those if you want, but I don't really have any specific
could
questions.
Be
I just
a
kind
way
of talk
to not invite intimacy in.
I really get what you're saying with the terms of the mythology. The challenge that we have as human beings is we want to make that which is inherently extraordinarily complex and simple. So our brain works in such a way that we want to slough off all of the stuff on the outsides and try and keep it simple and to try and keep it the same. And so art, at some level, is all about seeing that stuff that we slough off. And then we turn around and we call that madness. When really it's just being human. For me particularly, I really like eccentrics because eccentricity is what gives us color and it moves us out from that.
I don't know if people would initially view me as eccentric, but I think I have my definite quirks.
The demonology of centrism.
I've always grown up.
We all have to be the same.
Wanting to be eccentric, if that makes any sense.
When we live in
a
dualistic reality,
really
we're fighting sameness. We're fighting to be the same. And we're fighting to not be the same.
My grandmother's house.
And so it's an interesting.
House,
there's an interesting set of questions that you've just asked there.
My grandmother and
the mythology.
Next door with,
for example,
any number of
mythology
aunts and uncles
is extraordinarily
living there at any given time,
useful for
and
us
also
as human beings because we're storytellers. And yet the mythology you are talking about is, in some fashion, I suspect that you are talking about is that in some fashion, to mythologize Van Gogh for chopping off his ear somehow is a marketing ploy. And there's some
but yeah, it was kind of this
open
door house.
But Van Gogh didn't give a shit about marketing.
Where people knew they were welcome in the community. They would just stop by. It was like, we always called it, it's kind of similar to Seinfeld, where the door would just burst open at any given moment, and this total wacko would come in and just start talking and be expected, and would expect to be welcome there. Often they were.
I actually have
just,
thought about
okay,
this
stick the kettle
before,
on, Bernie's
weirdly.
Over, okay.
So with the colors
go on
right now, I really feel
and
when
and
I walk
a,
into space
a glitch on her
real,
computer, meanwhile downloading
and for me, it conveys a real earthiness to it, a real grounded
sense. Kitty takes over Tokyo and
there's,
all these hilarious,
you know, for lack of a better term, it's almost
generally
kind of,
anime
like
well.
Hippie colored. There's
in his big booming voice, almost 7 feet tall, balding, walking with two canes.
Yeah, it's a bit rustic.
Kind of
there's
funny,
kind of
gnarly teeth,
wooded
and,
materials that merge
just
and
this hilarious
with
dude with
and
yeah, big booming
when I'm
voice
working with
words.
My clients, and even when I'm just
cat taking over Tokyo.
I work from
Tokyo.
A somatic. Practice and effectively what that means is I've been trained to hold space with people that while listening to the story, because we all have stories, I invite people to pay attention, to track, notice, and attune the sensations in their body. So if your heart is going a million miles a minute, or if your toes are feeling numb, or if you're feeling a lot of heat or temperature on your face, those are cues of what the body has remembered and what the body knows. And the more we come into contact with that and move that energy, the more I have actually seen and felt people reach states of healing that they've never before have been able to in just traditional talk therapy.
There are certain times, how about this? A serious mental health problem is where it's like you wish, looking back on it, you wish there was an institution that wasn't a trap like that, that didn't have all of the negative aspects, and was actually, let's say, the idealization of what a mental institution could be, where it's this place where you could come in and out when you needed support, and it was really good, and there was health there, and there was drugs that didn't have side effects or something, you know, like just an impossible idealization, right? But obviously you would need to go there, and it wouldn't be great, it would just be like what you needed, and I definitely needed help at that time. Though the type of help I needed probably doesn't really exist. So
I want to say that...
How about that? What do you think of that?
I want to acknowledge your point, and I also want to say before I acknowledge it fully that the flip side of what I just said is that
I don't want to come across like a conspiracy theorist and say that all the doctors and mental health institutions are just conspiring to screw people up and put them on drugs or imprison them in there against their will, because there definitely are people who have issues and are in pain mentally and need some kind of support or assistance.
I wish that I had that service at certain times in my life. I wish I had, like, you know, I wish there was a place for me to go that wasn't scary. I mean, unfortunately, at the times that I needed it, I didn't have an outside community that would have taken me for bat and got me out of there. Because you really need someone else. Once you go in, it's hard on your own volition to get yourself out. You need other people who are really going to, like, hire lawyers and get you out of there, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, and so that's another reason why I didn't go. Even though I'm suffering from catatonic depression, is because I know that I didn't have an outside community that was able to and had a financial power to, like, get me out of there if I need to.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, there's, you raise a very fine point that there is a correlation between being trapped in there and being in a position of poverty.
By their own.
Or powerlessness against the machinery of the state and so on. So a lot of times when you're talking about artists, since we're talking about artists, they could be in a position because of the fact that
different things and
art pays too well.
Art pays way too well. Well, it does for some people. But that's not only singling out artists, because there's so many people who are not artists, but they're just working people who are in a similar situation with mental health, if they even get that far. Yeah. Because, I mean, the one thing that artists
endlessly
talk about
mental health issues. And I think it's kind of
explore them in ways. I mean, part of creating art is expressing your feelings either constructively or non-constructively through whatever you create.
I wonder sometimes if, you know, the notion of being an artist is always kind of questioning and looking at things that you don't want to look at, and kind of denying that notion of ignorance is bliss, because sometimes when you have a tendency towards being a creative individual, you can look at the darkness of life, and sometimes that can be overwhelming and lead to, you know, hard times.
Well, even further, I would say not only defending yourself, but asserting yourself with others. You know, as you bring up the word boundaries, that to me is probably the most fundamental thing that comes up when I'm working with someone, and I'm constantly setting boundaries in my own life to welcome in the type of energy that I want. And I was just having this conversation with someone this weekend where we were talking about that person's dear friend who happens to just continually have bad shit happen to her all the time. And, you know, it's from, like, one kind of medical emergency to somebody disappointing to her, to her being ripped off or stolen from, after another. And it just invoked in me this question of, like, I meet many people, both in my work and in my own life, who display the same level of, you could call it, unluckiness, or you could call it, you know, difficulty or challenge in their life. And when I at least look at it in a consistent pattern, I do start to wonder, to what level is that person, or if it was myself, inviting that energy into their life? To what sense are we not creating a boundaried and assertive life that welcomes in love that is reflective of the kind of people that we are? And that starts with healthy boundaries. That starts with asserting yourself. That starts with setting things up when people aren't relating to you in a way that is, you know, positive or affirming, stating that this is unacceptable and this relationship's not going to continue until you do that. That is a really hard thing to say, and that requires a lot of work, but it's it's something that's crucial in changing the pattern that is happening. And is an incredibly challenging thing to come to with somebody else without putting them into a shame state, without being like, hey, it's your fault that all this bad crap is happening to you. No, it's not your fault, but maybe conditions in your life have led you to not know how to express boundaries, to be unsure of how to express boundaries to other people. And what I'd like to help you to do is to see the pattern and then find ways to invite in more good energy, because you are deserving of light. You are deserving of acceptance and love. And it hurts me to see you hurting.
Right, and not to put too dark a point on it, but setting those boundaries with people who are spiraling in that way can include having them die on you. Because of the fact that you have to say, well, I think that you're going to die, and I don't know that I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. The severity of it can be quite strong.
It really
can.
Consider
to be a death to be a strong thing. It can be really, very difficult. So as you say, it's not the easiest thing in the world to deal with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you're really spot on about that. I came into contact with that that exact conversation many times as I was working on the crisis lines. People were calling in, and often it was people who were supporting people who were extremely suicidal or who were engaging in self-harm, and they were feeling overwhelmed and stuck and just like so pulled on in that caregiver state. And they were like, well, I can't not take the phone call. I have to take the phone call. Because if they don't, it's my fault they died. And to which, you know, as a clinician, as someone who cares about the well-being of who I'm talking about, I have to find a way to navigate and say, your sense of security and safety and self-worth is also important. And some things are too overwhelming for you to take on, which sometimes means we have to say that impossible thing, such as, I can't be your support or your caregiving in these calls of crisis. I am not trained to do this work. I love you. I want you to live, and I need you to seek help in another way, which is completely crippling to say, and so important.
Yeah. Well, there's this whole notion of the transmission of affect, and how certain pain can move through a whole chain of people in different ways. And I mean, so we could talk about intergenerational trauma as one, but then there's also like trauma in one generation. So if you're caring for somebody who is in that cycle of addiction or suicidal behavior or whatever, obviously the pain or whatever they radiate and
can't deal with all
goes
that
on to another person, and they use that person to draw that
to be able to deal with it, unless
suck the energy out of that
you
person,
to become
and then that
extremely
person's
violent
to you or whoever and take the energy
hurt somebody,
out of you.
Then we can look after him, but
anyway,
he's in that in-between place, so there's nothing to do with it.
It's
so it's an interesting
to put a block in that
corollary that there was nothing to deal with this father way back in the 1850s, so they built him another house. Here we are in 2017. There's nothing to deal with this guy.
It spreads out.
It's an interesting observation. We don't know how to deal with madness very easily.
No, it doesn't fit in well to the advance of progress and productivity and so on. To be doing that kind of thing.
When the person at the center of it actually does die, there's this.
But that's how it goes for artists as well. In a lot of cases, after they die,
understand what their relationship is.
Art, well, it's an interesting concept. Artists themselves generally don't know how to exploit themselves. I mean, that's almost oxymoronic in some sense, but most artists aren't very good at selling their products, selling their art. That's not their forte. That's not their skill set. Bateman over on Salt Spring Island, the artistic community kind of reviled him because he started becoming so commercially successful. And they said, well, he's not a real artist now. he's an extraordinary artist. Just because he is successfully marketing his product, his art, doesn't somehow suddenly mean that he's no longer an artist. There's two kinds of, or multiple kinds of, perceptions that folks have about who an artist is supposed to be and how they're supposed to suffer. So it's not just the exploiters, it's the artists themselves.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing is that from the perspective of the artists who are being really catty about it, there's this sense that the art has to somehow be a little bit socially disruptive, or
have to suffer.
You have to suffer, and you also have to challenge people to become a little uncomfortable with what you're doing, or move out of the realm of what's conventional and expected, or what makes people happy, in order to make something that will make people feel complicated or have complicated reactions to what you're doing.
Are Hollywood movies?
I agree with storytelling.
I don't know if I can answer that question, but...
Well, that's the other end of the starving artist thing, is these multi-billionaires who are producing these epics that are, at some level, artistic creations, huge artistic creations.
Them on the stage.
Why are they not art? Or maybe they are art. Just because there's money attached to them doesn't necessarily mean that they're not artistic.
You know Spike Jones.
Yeah, I mean, the final answer is really, for me, that it's... It depends on who's looking at it, whether they feel that it's art or not.
The second thing is that,
I mean, from my own personal perspective, the reason I don't necessarily,
I think there's more of an
having Robert Bateman pictures of foxes jumping out of the snow or whatever in my house is that.
But there, that's who I would say that
there are like things that leave me thinking about them after the fact and wondering about them for a long time
themselves.
And so. I can think of some movies that I saw when I was a kid or quite young, and maybe I just saw it once, but I still think about it to this day and try to wonder, try to figure out what was going on in that. Or when I think about the art, I'm still confused by
the subject of their
and remember the images, but don't totally understand what happened, and it changes in my mind as I think of more aspects of it. And then there are other ones that I've seen last week, and I can't remember the plot at all or remember the characters. And then
I think it's different.
I watched the movie again a year later, and I can't remember whether I've seen it before or not, and it seems somehow familiar, but also just like every other movie. And so it's
that's partially a function of aging. When you're young and inexperienced, experiences fresher and bolder and brighter and more influential, and as you age and become more and more experienced, it's not, it no longer is as fresh and therefore as demonstrative or as palpable for you. That's part of the challenge.
Well, thank you for reminding me of my own mortality there.
They may never actually.
But it's also an aspect of the music. They just have this sense of me goes from the beginning.
All these different pieces of horns and
when you're 5 years old,
the brand of Frank Zappa.
He would play them so professionally.
He's kind of a caricature of himself.
Right, but I don't think he was actually trying to nurture that. It just
but he made a bunch of these different things. And then he had a television series around wartime when they wanted
to
entertain people alive,
to
get their minds off of
the
crazy stuff that was happening. And so he got this essentially a very large clown band together.
Some people only focus on
professional musicians who also were very eccentric and quirky, and like every musician kind of had a weird skill that they could offer, such as
it's still valid
either
kind of a
clowny thing, or
a really good
dressing in drag,
Sherman, for example,
speaking like a woman, or
quite a while now, I guess since the 80s, right? And
acting like a chicken, just simple things. Just
such,
and each guy
such
in the band
fascinating
guy
work
and
such
featured in every show. And they would put these variety shows together that would just bam, 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 one thing after the other.
Just taking herself and her own image and playing with it and messing with it.
By these musicians.
And supposedly I haven't really seen the feed myself, but supposedly she's been doing really interesting things on Instagram.
Most shows, this guy would come out with.
Yeah, do you
want to
say anything on that feed? Because I haven't really looked at it, but I heard it was pretty cool. I read some articles about it.
And he It would make this.
Yeah, it's just a continuation of what I would say is her life's kind of
sound.
Work.
And it was this whistle that he had inside his mouth, but you can't see it. So it just looks like he's playing these two
herself
two sticks,
multitude of ways,
and then
kind of like how Madonna has
stick
been
would
doing
fall
his
down
song.
And go. And that was one of the gags, and then he would run off,
yeah,
start playing
and
the trombone or whatever he was playing. And
I mean,
then
we're drifting all over the
some
place here,
other thing,
say.
Grand piano would roll
there,
in, and
once
there'd
again,
be
there
tap dancing on the piano, whatever. And then Spike Jonze would do his things on his percussion devices with his horns and whatnot, and bells and shotguns. He would just always have these shotguns going off, and it was just total chaos and nuts. Things, but he made this amazing music, and he would kind of cover these old songs, like Cocktails for Two, in these hilarious ways with sound effects and gunshots and clinking of glasses.
It was a permanent installation.
But it was,
I was trying to remember what the T-shirt
said. There was
said,
more happening, and
it was a really powerful piece.
You know,
and I just remember thinking, wow.
He was creating
because
this over-the-top, mad, weird music.
Right to the center of it all.
Which crazy scene on television, the Eat Spike Jonze show.
We're talking about with,
and it was
like,
just great, because he could go totally batshit crazy on television, and it was totally accepted at that time. People just were craving anything.
The grand narrative.
Anything entertaining that would kind of take their mind off of the current state of chaos that was happening in the world.
I want to reel myself back.
But
reel back.
But,
the thing is, too, I talked about this.
Yeah, he would do things like, and this is my upbringing. My father really loved Spike Jonze, and so he always wanted to hear his sound.
Yeah, just hypothetically.
Hypothetically. So it's like, if you say, I want to.
Things like that.
Talk about
it was really great.
Tell me something about your family.
That's
the point is, if you're talking about relatives of yours, you have the advantage
of
a whole stretch of time knowing the adult circumstances and situations and everything.
Yeah,
it sucks. So
art.
Yeah, I'm
fucking in the way you are with people. You are creating.
But man,
yeah.
He's
one
of my favorite
mad
artists.
Do you want
to
elaborate on that some more?
Sure.
That's
not really a fair impression.
Really that's an interesting point.
I mean, we all stem from,
there
in the most crudest way, people, and I'll keep it general,
because
there's some major ties for producing these days, but we come from
people
producing with each other in some form or another. And that configuration, you know, whether it's two partners involved with another person who is going to carry the child, or someone who is completely unknown, or it's a single parent, or
she's a fascinating person.
Or just even, I guess,
I mean,
according
to putting
my
name
crudely, creating a turkey baster kind of situation where
you
don't really know where anything is kind of coming from. There is a beautiful richness and a beautiful chaos to that that creates life. I think there's nothing more artistic.
Because there really weren't any opportunities for women. To do the kind of things that she was capable of doing, but according to my mother anyway, which I also believe, she could have been, I mean, she could have been the head of a corporation, or she could have been, you know, she could have been the premier of a province or something like that. Like, she had really powerful rhetorical skills and just an amazing mind.
Just like Christy Clark.
Yeah, probably, or any of those people like that. I mean, you could say you don't like their politics or their choices, but you can't deny that they obviously have
a
baby. It still has to go through all our graded while playing politics. Otherwise, they wouldn't get to the positions they're in. So, like, Kathleen Wynne,
the whole message of her art,
even Alison Redford, still
Margaret Thatcher was a
It's
Margaret Thatcher is a great example.
There are physiological mechanisms that are absolutely fascinating.
She made a lot of money.
Sometimes beyond the human scope that are used to create.
My grandmother was
Yeah.
My grandmother is one of the founders of the National Ballet of Canada. Not nearly as scandalous as you were suggesting when you giggled about bringing it up.
Yeah.
But so I mean, people talk about Celia Franco.
Yeah, I feel it's a natural thing to talk about.
The flip side of that,
yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because I've interviewed other people that haven't really talked about
organizing and ruling over all the volunteers,
sexuality,
or Rudolf Nureyev, the famous Russian dancer, who defected.
Not that they have to be linked from Russia.
Actually, it's more like when feels like a denial
as part of the mental health process.
And they only really interesting about great conversations
about hitting on my uncle
art in a community.
It was only 15 at the time.
It doesn't have to be
sexual or physical, but just feeling.
Is that a bad thing? I can't say that on the podcast.
Connection.
It's only speculative.
I laugh when you're sharing ideas.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Those were different times.
What is reality?
Yeah,
I don't have to share it
nowadays
necessarily, but maybe we do a little in
something
saliva at least.
But is
anyway,
absolutely.
Everything that we say,
I think about
podcast,
this a lot less than
as a positive message.
Speculative,
not artistic,
nothing should be taken seriously.
We're playing characters.
I trust the process.
Yeah,
I don't even know who my grandmother was. I never met her. True story, though, when I asked her why she was my grandmother,
it's fair to say that.
You asked her why she was your grandmother?
Well, I was a really little kid. I was trying to figure it out.
Because
I was like,
of,
I know.
Yeah, there's lots of different wormholes.
Like I come over here all the time.
Go down around this
and
topic.
I get left here.
And that's, I mean, the processing that you're talking about as these things come up. The space that I enter into with many people. I mean, you are right in many sense. I spend a lot of time thinking about a healthy sense of sexuality. Which, you know, to be clear, when people hear that, they're immediately thinking,
and then,
it's like two bodies and they're coming together and it's sex and it's raw. And,
yeah, she said it right off.
For some, that evokes
like,
the
what happened
sense
is there was
of guilt. But for me, healthy sexuality is about creating a sense of empowerment to live within themselves, knowing how to relate from the inside out, from the outside.
We repackage them.
How to be
stories, like, so I just
beginning and boundaries, how to. Sensuality and contact with
there's
people,
certain
and
biological
how to love
fundamental
body
ways
and
that
how
we apprehend our reality that when
consistent with
when we stretch
person that you are
the interaction
in the
beyond that acceptability, we can't comprehend it.
And so when I'm working with
specifically of schizophrenics who are
sexuality,
creating
what I was talking
this
about,
alternate
processing,
reality, this alternate universe,
when I'm bringing these things up,
are capable
many
of
people,
sort of grasping
is,
it because it's outside
it be the first time
the realms of their possibility.
It can
so
be
art,
shocking,
art itself,
it can be
to some degree.
And
be constrained, which
there
is
needs to, at least on my part, be a conscious effort of creating
to
time
push those boundaries
for the thing to happen for the words.
Now, how do you get to see
to
something
and for us to kind
that you're not capable of seeing? Maybe only the artist is
within sort of this optimal level of
and also, I mean, it may not matter whether you see the same thing as the artist or not.
Well, it's not. I agree. What I am saying is that for me. That art is about moving your perspective, changing somehow the way you see reality, the way you apprehend reality, having a difference in how you engage, making a difference in some fashion. Otherwise, we just paint the wall taupe or eggshell, and it makes no change in our life whatsoever.
Right, and that may be the case for you or me, but somebody else may find the eggshell to be an extremely moving change.
Or is it art?
You see what I'm saying? Like, is it art? We don't know. And does it have narrativity, as they say? I don't know the answer to that either.
Blues songs or whatever.
It's certainly sociological,
like
but just because it's sociological doesn't necessarily mean it's art.
At my old apartment in the bathroom, they had changed the vanity, but not fixed the wall and the gap that was left there, and so behind the vanity there were three or four different levels of quality.
Presence that they're
I don't want to get down some different layers or anything.
So I took living with that.
I took some pieces of living is about you, and
isn't that just
put a little
really
frame
not like around that spot.
It can be for
everything.
a bit me that wakes up with somebody for sure. But it's not like that. It was telling the story. It's not like you're going to be walking around with rocks on your back for the rest of your life. So I just want to say that I think it's possible. It's harder when you just have whatever they call it, grayish.
But yeah, it's actually, there is that tongue-in-cheek way and like kind of facade people put on when they're performing.
There's an artistic, a deliberate purpose to disquiet
cover up things that is kind of just a uniformity. I don't know, it just makes it feel a bit sick. I understand that.
I used to play this game with my students to help them.
This song that with my roommate was working on with a piano student.
I'm sure this will make sense to you, but I would say to them, give me any object that you have in your bag right now,
transcribe,
and I'll tell you the entire story of human history
that her student wanted to learn.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know either, but it's this song that's like,
let's talk about every aspect of this. Where did the plastic come from? What's the story of plastic? How did this plastic get here? Did it come on a ship? And where was the plastic
and
made?
It's actually like, and she wanted it for piano. And
let's talk about
very difficult to transcribe this like improv guy with no cording in the background.
Typography and the written language, and you know, let's
you know, very hard to transpose. Anyway, it was funny. But I was listening over and over while she was trying to transcribe this. This guy just being like, I don't know why you're so cold to me. Like, come on, baby, just cheer up. Come on, let's get through this. And I'm just like, why are you writing a song about it? Why don't you just, like, talk to your girlfriend or something instead of being like, I'm just gonna go in my room and sing a song about it and wonder about it and then release a song, but I'm not actually gonna communicate with this person about it. I'm just gonna feel sorry for myself. So I thought it would be kind of a funny thing to turn that song into like, I don't understand why you're so cold to me. Maybe it's because I never communicate with you. Maybe it's because, I don't know. Maybe it's because I got super drunk last night. And I came home too late. But I didn't talk to you about it. So I'm going to just sit here and write this song. But yeah, I don't know. Stuff like that bothers me. All these guys just like, come on, baby. What's wrong with you? I'm just, like, why don't you just ask her instead of writing a stupid song? The but I guess whatever inspiration it takes.
Which represents 14%
of
what I was talking about.
Dude, I just don't, like, this whole...
Not only that, but there's some that I don't even understand.
The whole way in which I look at the world, society as a whole, global politics, everything changed.
For instance,
it
used to be this song,
even
the night song,
the thing that in 8,000, if our current growth...
I was like, what do you mean?
Population?
Even the nights are better. Like, shouldn't
like
the
overall,
be the
like
best part
our
of
the
all.
Complex
that's
number, not the simple like.
Like, oh yeah,
year,
I was expecting
as far
our
long-term projected growth rate to
be
continues
amazing.
At the linear.
That's really what
continues
I
to go the way it's planning to go, even though it's like 1.1 or something like that. It's actually not like a huge growth rate, but if it just continues the way in which it's going, it compounds every year, even though it's just 1.1% growth or something like that. Or 1.1 times, sorry, not percent. Then in 8,000 years, which is a measurable amount of time, there will be not enough particles in the universe to make the humans that we would need to keep our growth. We'd run out of particles.
So what is your experience?
Just a crazy idea. The idea of just running out of matter in the universe to make human beings. That's a hard limit. That's like we're. That's the limit that we should just be like, all right, so at this point,
maybe not.
When we're
so
out of
only,
like particles to make human beings,
I'm not sure.
You know, what do you feel about pro
life? What we were talking about. We had a really long
like,
argument.
What are you
going to
do? What are you going to do? All the sun is
how many
human beings. Every star in
what
the
hell is he saying? Oh, yeah, okay, so like if human beings. Could just reproduce.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you? What's your religious convictions
at the rate that they're reproducing now? Then they would. Human beings would comprise all the matter in the universe within 8,000 years.
Well,
I mean, and then he was trying to tell me that this was this insane statistic that I should be concerned about.
Comprise every particle in the universe.
But I refused to be concerned about it, so we had a big fight about it. But that doesn't really cover the subject of art and magic.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. No,
that wouldn't happen. I guess
there'd have to be Mr. Neutrino or some shit over there.
Yeah,
you know
so
I
just like, I mean, it may or may not be
a raw number. Like I
don't understand how
eccentric
calculation.
For sure.
It's
had a lot of weird health problems.
I know, but like, you could start factoring stuff out
into my art in certain ways.
But 8,000 years is a long time.
It's sometimes just physically difficult to do the stuff that I want to do,
and,
or I'm laid up. And
we have passed through 8,000 years.
Yeah, I've written a lot of poems about
that. And they think there's even been farming.
I've been trying to write a poem every day.
It's crazy to be like, oh, another 8,000 years.
Since I've been feeling so bad, a lot of the poems are really self-indulgent and bad. But
rate of growth will be like all over the place. No, of course not.
Days when I was feeling better.
No, but the whole thing is that.
Made me want to
is a false
try to
in the sense that
work harder
it's
on
sort
it
of like
and not just be so
say,
lazy because I was in agonizing pain
you
and
know,
didn't feel like using a pen.
Yeah, my dude.
With libertarianism, for example,
yeah.
But, would work perfectly as a system.
It's really hard to say.
Everybody
sometimes
in the
I think about, I mean, I don't know if you watch much Japanese animation
or
anything like that, but
people said the same thing about
there's all these crazy
communism
Japanese animation
function well.
Crazy monsters and radiation and everything. It's kind of like these atomic bombs
that
drop
situation would clearly never happen. Except
you never actually see any anime movies about atomic bombs.
It's really expressing
this
fall.
It's kind of a thing that went into people's
psyches.
It
comes out and all that wouldn't happen. You're getting worked up about something
really quite beautiful and
inconceivable
sometimes.
And I realize that it's inconceivable anyway, but I think even
maybe you have
an experience
or
saying, oh, 8,000 years, it would be possible.
Yeah, I expressed it really badly.
Because that's
so
like just
it comprise every
particle of matter in the universe.
I mean,
who knows exactly?
The calculations are false. So like,
well, it is.
You're being alarmist for no reason.
No, I'm being extremely. Well, that's an absolute limit, right? But you add any factor to that, like let's say
engineer
water,
circumstances
and
situations,
then you're like, well, how much water do all humans need if they're that thing?
Yeah, I didn't really mean to put it that way.
I didn't think you did.
4,000 years. You know what I mean? Like,
I would say like this.
I don't know what the calculations are beyond that.
Where are these deer?
It would. If
there was a hard limit on how much water there was, then very complacent, and they just wandered around
taking
whatever they please and they block the traffic and they don't run away.
There is a hard limit. What I'm trying to tell you,
to me, this is very undeer-like behavior.
Humans, like, imagine the
and
sun
I feel like if
there
were a wolf wandering
body,
around,
the
deer
the
would be the best deer they could be because they're great at being hyper-vigilant and running for their lives.
Every celestial body, that's 8,000 years.
So I might count
that's what
that
I'm saying. So, like,
the deer
if you start being like, well, it's impossible, of course, and then it cuts it down, being like, all right, well, if you think that there's that's an impossible part, then what factors will be? Well, maybe humans only exist on the surface of the land. And then it cuts it down to
the
smorgasbord
rather than
what I'm trying to say is
salal berries,
that
they've actually maximized their potential by becoming urban
deer. That we're hitting, we're heading,
I mean, maybe, but
and I love that they are
like
diligently blocking the traffic.
Okay,
and I'm just wondering if whether that's a deer
number one
statement.
Yes, it may be, but then if those deer wanted to go on tour and visit other forests around the world, think that they would
just say, oh, well, it would only mean humans occupying the surface of planets.
They don't want to travel around the world. They're very content with where they are,
taking over all of the matter that is present. But if they are suggesting that they're world-class deer, I'm suggesting they're not world-class deer because they're
not
ready to
be. You're like slipping to the side and creating a whole other thing and saying, oh, that would only take 4,000 years. Who cares?
Notion of world-class. I see that as such a pejorative political statement from failing short-ass politicians. I mean, we're going to have a world-class World's Fair here. We're going to have a world's class baseball team. We're
the absolute
hard
limit of absolute
impossibility
is that
it means it's the most superlative ever. I want you to think that they are.
You're getting it.
I think there's another way to put it. I think a lot about these deer.
Times a year. And then you can be
here we have this new age beer. They've broken out of that same old rut. They become liberalized. They're now attending institutions of higher education.
Very complicated.
Wherein they get, I think that's fabulous. I mean, and they have this smorgasbord of plants to eat that they're stretching beyond their conservative selves.
I think it's something
and crossing at the crosswalks, which is pretty huge. But
I mean, talk about adaptive. Talk about moving into a new environment, experiencing new things. That's pretty amazing.
If you just
when you think
took
about
the
it.
Rate at which humans were reproducing, but yeah. I have a lot of appreciation for. I have a lot of appreciation for wood shedding in so many ways, as they call it,
growth.
Where people just go back and relentlessly practice.
Human beings
whatever
would
their craft
have the
is
same
until they get
as
very, very good
that's
at it.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
To me, it's not conservative.
That's all well
to say,
and good, except that
I want you to be the best you can be.
I don't have any issue with that.
It doesn't matter what they
exactly
are
what
or what
saying.
The outcome
yeah.
is.
I'm saying
I just really appreciate seeing somebody
as this kind of
so much time and effort into it.
Alarmist
statistic.
Yeah.
Certain challenges.
Yeah. As if to imply that this
make
would
their
actually
stuff
happen.
Fascinating.
And
taking that to Christians.
So it didn't really matter if the deer were back in the forest.
I mean, the point is that...
What I'm taking to Christians is something that's absolutely
well, they're just conceptual
understandable. And it's like you can't possibly
deer, but they're very conservative deer if they have to be back in...
They'll be
their,
humans
their
being made out of things
usual environment and not
like,
allowed out of their usual
environment.
That's
like all the black matter or all the dark matter.
No, but that's
yeah.
Not the
I mean,
point
perhaps
if
you're right. You're
this,
contrarian.
The obvious answer is
you're not
going to
pull up my metaphor
one,
part pretty well, but
one of the
key
tenets of the. I think that people.
I think the sense of evolution is a fact.
I think the sense don't of artistry. Want to know.
Populations
and I think that talking
don't
about
necessarily.
Things,
I mean, the idea
talking
of
about
is that the artist
is that
mental health
internally
is
every species has
I think
an capacity to
so feel really weird about it, and I think some people
do so.
Their limits.
But the problem is that
it's
they
a
are
hard time
are faced with limited resources and competition,
expressing their emotions,
and so I mean. You could just as easily say, how long would it take for earwigs to comprise the entire mass
ability
of the
to express
their
emotions?
Producing
and some people have a hard time holding space for
well,
other
yeah,
people.
Of course, of course. I mean,
being able to
logic
witness
that
them as they
but I'm trying
speak
to make an
their
argument that
truth
that
or whatever.
Touching
a but I think that
the
there's something healing about being witnessed and being able to speak your truth. And I mean, whenever anyone has come to me with wanting to talk about their mental health, I really just try to listen and hold space for them and be as safe.
So here's the vastness of how
space
much
and not try to offer
so
them
it's a sense of world class
I know a way to fix it or a way to
do it all
this or that
so
just
wow,
try to
like,
be there
really
and be in the moment with them as
like
they with whatever they are feeling drama triangle, which is the victim, the rescuer, and the perpetrator.
Notion of how far I could
which
go.
Is like if someone's coming to you and you try to rescue them,
so the
like
Dunning-Kruger
that's
effect.
That's what it's
this
called.
Is like
okay.
Mental
Dunning-Kruger
health
effect is
101. Do not do. Basically, do not try to rescue them. Do not make them feel like they are a victim. Do not. Perpetrate things
right.
onto
so
them
that,
if
that
they are coming to you to talk about something or blame them for what
don't know,
has happened or whatever
know,
is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, because it's
aware,
not, it
you know,
can be re-traumatizing or it can be really upsetting, especially for folks that have
so,
mental health
so
issues. It's like,
certainly in
or struggle
to make,
with mental health in general.
What would you say is the least constructive thing somebody's ever said to you when you approach them with your troubles?
Therapy, we say you're 80-85% of the way there. It's that big a deal because if you don't know, you don't know. You can't work on anything. So if you are unconsciously incompetent, it means you don't know.
You shouldn't have worn that, or you shouldn't have drank so much.
You become aware that you're incompetent.
Everybody's got different goals.
That's pretty crappy.
I do whatever work I can do.
Well, I feel like
and if
people with just be like, this is where you were female body are targeted sometimes in that way. It's like, if you didn't dress so sexy, then that thing that happened to you wouldn't have happened to you. Which is,
I do it with
that's just victim blaming straight up.
The Japanese or like, that is part of their culture.
Or like that whole notion of gaslighting. Like, you know, you tell someone something and then they say like, oh, that didn't happen, or oh, you're crazy, or blah, 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 you know? So these are all the don't do's. The do-do's. Let's talk about the things you can do.
Do you have art?
Because I feel like
a lot of the times we're going to get the exclusive from Adam.
I think it's just really important to have those conversations about how ways in which we can support each other.
Has a little glass.
I'd say,
I think it's
yes,
cheese,
and so, I want
to paint pictures of
to me,
up
people
to
who are on that
really
trajectory.
Some point.
I don't
and
mean
more compelling than
people who are not
maybe
on that trajectory.
Because
of irises, too, that would be kind of flailing away without
finding
their response with irises.
Is everybody an artist?
Not this again.
Tulips.
So, crocus. I didn't really feel like trusting that person. I'm not sure the answer to that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's.
For
like
sure,
very
I don't
valid.
Know. I think
flowers.
Everybody could be an artist.
That kind of thing.
And I also think that
whoa.
A person
like
doesn't
whales.
Necessarily have
oh,
to
wow.
be
doesn't
self-consciously
like
making
sort of,
art
like,
to be an artist.
It's like shock artist.
I don't know if everybody is an artist or not.
It was probably a coping mechanism for them.
It's a similar question, too. Is everybody insane?
Stress their boundaries in an appropriate way.
I think the thing is that notions of sanity and insanity are
has their
pretty bizarre, that are, frankly.
I think about this.
So, yeah, I could give everybody insanity.
And it depends.
Easily done.
I mean,
we live in an illusion. Folks buy the illusion as reality. It hasn't been, well, the vast majority of human beings until they get through that.
Yeah, I was going to tell you
we make meanings with our brain. If we want to use, get it down to the electrochemical kind of capacity that
I'm interested to know some of the ways
five
that
inputs through our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our feelings, and our ears,
think
and
that
then the brain like works around with them and says that's
people
reality.
Who have mental
you ask
health
a butterfly
issues
sees
and are
in
creative
the ultraviolet range whether or not
individuals
what we see is
can
the butterfly be, going,
be supported or get supported.
Yeah,
or
talk to elephants. No, you can't talk to elephants. Not because you don't
I
know
think
their
that,
languages, because you can't hear them talking. Because their voices are below our audio range.
People need
and
to
go on and on and on about all the phenomena out
people
there
who
in
are creative
reality, quote, that we can't apprehend.
Have creative
we don't
inclinations.
Even know exist.
That's such a
somehow
broad term. I don't even
our illusion persuades us that we know what reality
artists,
is.
For the sake
so yeah,
shorthand.
That's to me is the definition of insanity.
I mean, when I was a TA at York University, I was given this one thing. Is it in do my office when you have artistic tendencies or whatever you're into art, you want to make art, you feel driven to create art, the first thing that happens is you're 85% likely that you're going to be derided by your family and you know told that what you're doing is not practical or realistic and so on and so forth, you know. So it's good to have some kind of nurturing environment. Other people who are into the same thing as you're into or understand it on the same level that you do, because there's a big sense of like artists not really taking life seriously or being leeches or just like being immature or not being realistic about the way that the world works, not being taken seriously, being pushed around, being teased, you know, that sort of thing. Would you agree with what I'm saying? So
definitely
that is part of the mental health dilemma, but I think a lot of that can be helped by having like-minded people because not only do you draw from them creatively and help to grow your ideas in an environment that the sharing and bouncing back and forth is just so incredibly helpful and constructive. It can also be really catty, but it can also be that can also be good, because one way or another you're compelled to improve. And I think that also if you're getting positive feedback from people as opposed to just not sycophantic feedback, but people saying I challenge you to do better and be better than what you're doing, that's really great. And I just think that having friends and people who are watching out for you and understanding what you're going through can help a lot, because it's like, wow, I understand why you're getting depressed or how you're getting depressed in the way you are, because I also have those feelings myself and I share them and I go through the same things that you do. And I mean, as you know, it's not a guarantee that you can save somebody's life that way, because you still lose people. But also, I mean, I can think of occasions when people were really depressed or lost or whatever that I know or you know or we both knew, and it was sort of like you saw they were going that way and then people reached out to them or kind of created a net for them to fall into and just like were with them in moments when they were really down, and then those people are still around and they're doing better now. And so it's, sometimes you just can't stop somebody who's intent on taking themselves out of the world, but other times you can. So to me, that community environment is really helpful, because you're surrounded by people who don't get it and aren't going to be constructive and are really going to just shit on you.
I don't allow those types of people into my circle.
I appreciate that, but you just meet them inevitably, no matter what you're doing. So yeah. It's like you have to have some kind of support group, but you also have to develop a little bit of armor as well. And the thickness of that armor can vary greatly. So maybe my armor is pretty thick. Sometimes people say that. It's hard to see inside of me and know what's going on in there.
Yeah.
So.
I think, can I share some advice?
Share.
Some of my thoughts on how to support people with mental health is to shut the fuck up and don't talk and just listen. And if you want to talk, then you do what I just did, which is, would it be okay if I shared something? And if they say no, you are okay with that answer.
Yeah, I love that idea of thinking about self-love in relationship with being lovable. You know, the idea of being lovable, to me, conveys being in relationship with others. And that's not like being in a partnership, but I'm talking about like relating to other people by walking this earth with others. Being lovable is somebody else or something else in nature seeing the light that you are and reflecting that and maybe expressing that to you and validating you and affirming your existence, which is a beautiful thing. And self-love, of course, is going to, well, I say of course, maybe hopefully will be enhanced by feeling that level of lovability that's affirmed throughout. And of course, your level of lovability is going to be enhanced by the more self-love that you can continue to tap into. So it's a constant process of finding the balance between doing the work to see your inner beauty and your inner light and your inner love and expressing that with others and giving others the opportunity to affirm your love and existence and having that kind of circle nicely.
I would like to thank the following guests. S is a local artist, raconteur, and actor. K is a local artist and musician. T is a mental health counselor at Esquimalt. G is a mental health counselor in Victoria, BC. K is a local artist and curator, as well as a program director at a local radio station. Executive producer, Katie Sage. Producer, Adam Cantor. If you like what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe to Artscape and leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. Artscape has been made possible with the generous support from the BC Art Council. All music written and produced by General Gruff and available on woodshoprecords.bandcamp.com. Thank you for listening.